on the effects of the genocide and how the media participated in inflaming all of that by standing down. And what then surfaced was this Operation Crimson Mist, where groups on the ground were inciting the Hutu and the Tutsi tribes, and rightfully so. There were differences between the two tribes. There was a meeting that was organized where the two leaders of the tribes met, and the CIA blew the leadership up on that on one day. So that inflamed tension between the tribes. Of course, this was all a covert operation. And what they had ready on the tarmac near the Hutu tribe were C-130 Hercules planes armed with microwaves that they beamed these microwaves over the Hutus and inflamed their anger, exacerbated an anger that was already there. So they thought this anger was their own, and they became raging murderers.
It was artificial, Deborah. Now, for the skeptics, and going out on commercial radio here, we always have skeptics listening. That isn't a bad thing. Remind our listeners how we know that this technology was used in the mid-1990s in Rwanda. How do we know this?
Well, we have the documents. We have Operation Crimson Mist, and you can look up those documents.
Okay, this is Operation Crimson Mist, okay? Electronic slaughter in Rwanda. And this is what I believe is being used all over these United States of America today, 2020, in the midst of this Bolshevik revolution that we now live in and among. This is happening right now. Just listen. This is from educateyourself.org. Operation Crimson Mist. Spooks now use technology in Baghdad that was proven on 1 million dead Africans in Rwanda. And this is by Joe Vials on May 29, 2003. This was produced. All right. Or published, I should say. Original title, American Mind Control in Baghdad. Operation Crimson Mist. During the late afternoon of April 6, 1994, a hail of cannon shells tore through the fuselage of a commercial airliner flying overhead central Rwanda. Several seconds later, the blazing plane exploded on impact with the ground, killing President Habyarimana of Rwanda, President Ntaryamira of Burundi, and most of their senior government officials. In that fatal millisecond of time, the entire political command structure of Central Africa was decapitated, leaving the way open for Operation Crimson Mist, the most obscene terminal mind control experiment ever mounted by the United States of America against a sovereign nation. That Crimson Mist has been used again recently on a smaller scale in Iraq, is now beyond doubt. As Habyarimana and his colleagues made their death dive, a small group of American men and women lounged around in a large hut at the edge of a discreet gravel airstrip a few miles from the Rwandan capital, Kigali, temporary home for their three unmarked C-130 Hercules transport planes. All crew members carried forged credentials showing them as atmospheric researchers employed by an authentic civilian American agency, but these were only for emergency identification if one of the aircraft was forced to make an unscheduled landing on unfriendly territory. For all practical security purposes, neither they nor their three large aircraft were ever even in Africa. When news of the presidential crash came in over the VHF radio, one of the Hercules planes was swiftly prepared for takeoff. The flight engineer checked the attachment of the RATO rocketed assisted takeoff packs while the scientists made final adjustments to a large microwave dish mounted on the rear loading ramp of the aircraft. It was this strange and esoteric piece of equipment alone that would directly contribute to the death of more than 1 million African civilians during the 100 days that followed. This is Operation Crimson Mist. Though completely silent in operation, the single microwave dish had more killing potential than a whole squadron of AC-130 Spectre gunships armed with 50 Gatling cannons. Willing to commit mass murder. Though officially tagged an experiment, none of those present had any doubt that this was merely a cosmetic cover for the gruesome operational work ahead. Each member had been carefully vetted and then vetted again by U.S. intelligence to ensure they had the right stuff and were philosophically committed to two objectives. First was the evolving need to control or eliminate political dissent by remote means in the run-up to the 21st century, and second was the need to stem or reverse massive population increases across the world, which threatened to overwhelm existing natural resources, especially water and food. Intrinsically, this required a willingness to commit mass murder, and everyone present had passed this critical test with flying colors. As the Hercules engine started with a roar, American agents were in Kigali, were working alongside local civil servants and members of the Rwandan Security Service, ramping up public suspicion about foul play in the presidential air crash. Urged on by corrupt officialdom, Hutu tribesmen started marching on Tutsi tribesmen and threw rocks at them. Innocent enough at the outset, although with a few nasty machete cuts here and there, but then the C-130 Hercules made a carefully calculated pass directly over the advancing Hutu, and they suddenly went berserk. Eyes glazed, the mood of the Hutu crowd went from simple anger to uncontrollable rage, and within minutes, hundreds of assorted Tutsi body parts were flying through the air. Unbelievable. Creating electronic rage, I should say. What the Hercules crew had just achieved has been an open secret since the late 50s, when researchers accidentally discovered that there is a precise control brainwave for literally everything we do and for everything we feel. The problem back then was that each of these control brainwaves, rage, fear, panic, lethargy, vomiting, and so on, had to be transmitted with an accuracy taken out to 3 decimal places, or they simply did not work at all. But as the years rolled by, and with the advent of transistors and microprocessors, the operational application of precise control brainwaves became practical reality. It is important to note here that the lethal trick repeated hundreds of times by the C-130 Hercules in Rwanda during April to July 1994 was not classic mind control, in the ultimate conspiratorial meaning of the term. Example, where people claim to hear complicated messages inside their head, or where it is feared that the NSA or similar intend to turn everyone into helpless zombies by implanting electronic chips in their arms or necks. What the C-130 crew were actually engaged in was electromagnetically augmenting a pre-existing state. Remember that the agents and security service personnel first had to point the Hutu tribesmen in the direction of the Tutsi, induce reasonable anger, and make sure that they were appropriately armed. Only then could the C-130 go to work with the precise control brainwave of rage, augmenting and thus upgrading crowd behavior from that of angry demonstrators to uncontrollable genocidal maniacs. Although not classic, this was and is unquestionably mind control, for the simple reason that external means were being used to force an irresistible change in behavior. Now think about 2020, think about the riots, think about looting, think about 5G, think about the rolling out of this control grid, this microwave frequency. Come on, put it together, folks. For those who really want to know how governments or agencies change public behavior on a whim, the explanation is not too complicated, though obtaining details of the classified control brain frequencies is all but impossible. Various academics have actually demonstrated some of these effects quasi-publicly over the years, which provides hard reality for skeptics. One of the leading lights in this field is Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher Bice, who was a nuclear scientist and researcher at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory and at Stanford Research Institute, professor of physics at John F. Kennedy University of California, research consultant to NASA and the U.S. Navy, and a member of IEEE, APS, AAAS, MAA, ANA, AAMI. Elizabeth Rauscher Bice identified specific frequency effects to induce nausea, happiness, and many other behavioral states decades ago. Clearly, Dr. Rauscher Bice is an enthusiast. Quote, "Give me the money in 3 months," she boasts, "and I'll be able to affect the behavior of 80% of the people in this town without their knowing it, make them happy, or at least I'll think they're happy, or aggressive," end quote. Unlike many researchers in this field, Elizabeth Rauscher Bice tends to be open about her work. Has demonstrated the effects many times in quasi-public form and claims to experiment only on fully informed people. Many years ago, during a memorable demonstration in California, she turned a specific brainwave on all students in the left side of her auditorium, whereupon their teeth started chattering collectively and uncontrollably. When the unaffected students on the right side of the auditorium suggested this might be some sort of trick, Elizabeth Rauscher Bice calmly turned the specific brainwave on them instead. The right side now suffered exactly the same fate, watched by the stunned but no longer affected students on the left side. That's pretty impressive. Extra low frequencies, ELF waves. The main problem lies in the delivery of these brainwaves to the target, because they all lie in the extremely low spectrum, between 0.1 and 25 Hz cycles, with all control brainwaves in an even narrower central band, between 0.6 and 10.2 Hz. These are effectively the same as Earth frequencies, meaning that they are very hard to direct via conventional radio transmission. Remember that in order to be effective in selective crowd behavior augmentation, you must be able to restrict delivery to clearly defined crowds in clearly defined areas. This is achieved by using an extremely high frequency microwave beam, which is then amplituded modulated at exactly the same rate as the desired control brainwave. This is much easier to explain with pictures, so take a good look at the diagram below. Microwaves in the 1.0 to 3.0 GHz range travel in perfectly straight lines, like light, making them easy to control in terms of direction, regardless of power output. In most cases, microwaves are transmitted by a dish aerial of sort you frequently see located low down on tall television transmitter masts. These are designed to transfer high volume electronic data between the television studio and transmitter, and vice versa. Where the American mind controllers score with their airborne and truck-mounted equipment is by using microwave aerials that can be adjusted in exactly the same way as you would adjust the focus on a variable beam flashlight. How this is done is shown in the second diagram to the right. In the Rwandan Hutu tribesmen example shown near the start of this report, the crew of the C-130 Hercules only needed to know the width of the target crowd on the ground, and the width of their own microwave beam at any given true altitude in feet, as read directly from the radar altimeter. With those two values available, it is then a simple matter to adjust beam width to accurately bracket the target crowd from any altitude chosen. Baghdad looting. And again, think of 2020, rioting and looting on the streets all over metropolitan cities in the United States. But this equipment is not just deployed in large lumbering Hercules transport planes. During recent weeks, European security experts have concluded that smaller versions of Crimson Mist were recently deployed on the streets of Baghdad, designed in part to augment the media propaganda line that the Iraqi citizens are dangerous savages, all badly in need of direct supervision by democratic American authorities. One classic example of this was the looting of the Baghdad Museum, apparently by a crowd of undisciplined rabble. But video footage tells a very different story. To pull off this stunt, the American authorities needed to assemble a crowd, managed quite easily with a promise of free food. Then they needed to place the crowd outside the museum, which again was easy because they located the free food outside the museum itself. Next up, the attention of the crowd had to be drawn to the museum itself, which was achieved in spectacular fashion by firing 220mm shells from an Abrams tank gun straight through the main doors. Bravo. Fine so far, but how to get them inside? The video shows two soldiers gesticulating to the crowd, urging them to go in and help themselves, thereby clearly identifying the target, Rwanda style. Then it starts to get really interesting. The two soldiers rapidly withdraw, leaving the Iraqis standing. There is unlikely to be very much concern in America, Britain, and Australia for the plight of Iraqis on the streets of Baghdad. Although, keep in mind, this was written in 2003, well before the 2020 Bolshevik Revolution on the metropolitan streets in America, today, right now. I digress. It may be time to examine what is likely to happen in our own democratic countries if things get more out of control than they are at present. Remember that the 2.2 million strong demonstration in London just before the illegal invasion of Iraq had little if anything to do with English folk liking Saddam Hussein rather. Iraq was merely an excuse for this unprecedented mass of human beings to migrate to London, waving banners that mostly read, "Not in our name," at corrupt politicians. The bottom line is that the next 2.2 million British citizens descend on the capital to have a go at the politicians, their real targets. They might be carrying something far more dangerous than banners. Every policeman and military man knows very well that a 2.2 million strong mass with hostile intent simply cannot be stopped by standard riot control techniques. They cannot be stopped by bullets fired by soldiers on the streets. Even if British soldiers could be persuaded to open fire on their own neighbors, most unlikely, the entire army would be powerless to act. So what then? Across the Atlantic, in America, and in Australia, things are really no better. As I write, the American dollar is heading straight for basement levels, which in turn will lead to a depression and increased anger on the part of all Americans, aimed largely at corrupt politicians on Capitol Hill. Naturally, the politicians will try to put the people down as usual, but what if this time it is a step too far? What if a few hundred or a few thousand of the 260 plus million private weapons in American hands are brought into play? What then? The chances are that in all affected Western countries, politicians and their real masters will try to invoke the use of highly unconventional weapons in order to try and save their own worthless hides. How successful they might be when that day comes, as it surely will, is largely up to you. Joe Vials. And again, guys, keep in mind what you've all witnessed on the streets, in the cities, all over America, as they unroll the 5G smart grid all over the world. This is the technocratic Bolshevik 2020 revolution. Wake up, folks. Wake up.